Now, the Biden administration on Wednesday took at least a bite out of the roughly $1.6 trillion in cumulative federal student loan debt. The president announced loan forgiveness of between $10,000 and $20,000, depending on the current salary of debt holders and whether or not they'd received a Pell Grant. We're going to look at how this would all work, what effects it might have, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this move, good idea or not? Does it have an effect on you personally? Are you not sure if it affects you personally and you want to find out? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Nicholas Hillman is a professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison. He directs the Student Success through Applied Research Lab at UW. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, there have been calls for no debt forgiveness, calls for complete debt forgiveness. On the scale of none to all, where does this fit in, big picture?
It fits kind of in a sweet spot, really, right in the middle of the two, because it is not such widespread forgiveness that it makes more conservative members of Congress too worrisome, I suppose. Or maybe, well, they might still be very worrisome, but it's not too much from that vantage point. But then on the farther left end of the political distribution among progressives, it wasn't enough. And so the $10,000 for most borrowers and then up to 20 for borrowers who had a Pell Grant was kind of a compromise.
Can you talk about the debt forgiveness part of it in particular? Give us some more of the details, 10 for some, 20,000 for others, but there's also an income cap. Can you talk us through the basics of who is going to be affected by this?
There are two different things to keep in mind. One is certainly the income cap. If you're an individual with an annual income of $125,000 or less, then you would qualify. If you're in a household that has $250,000 or less, then you would qualify. So that's the first condition. But the second condition is whether you have a direct loan. And so if you took out a loan basically since 2010 forward, those are typically going to be direct loans. But there's some old loans that have been out there for a very long time prior to 2010 that might not qualify. So the first step is also to make sure you have an eligible loan.
Do you have a sense of, on a practical level, how people start finding out if they're eligible and start requesting this debt forgiveness?
Right. So there are two different places to go. One is directly to the federal government, the U.S. Department of Education. The website has been overloaded the last couple of days, so you might have to be patient to get the website to load. But the U.S. Department of Education, the Office of Federal Student Aid is the place to go there. You could log in and check your records, or you could go in through what's called a student loan servicer. So some servicers that might be familiar are Great Lakes or Navient. These servicers are the ones who are supposed to be kind of the connector between the federal government and the borrower.
Talking to Nicholas Hillman from UW-Madison, looking at the Biden administration announcement of some student loan debt forgiveness. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions to that decision, your questions about what it is, how it works, maybe what it means for you. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Now, that debt forgiveness is kind of the high profile part of this. There's also from the Department of Education a transition to something called income driven repayment plans. What does that mean? How does it work?
Well, the Department of Education has had different types of income driven repayment plans over the years. And each new iteration, they become a little bit more generous. Basically, what these do is they connect your monthly student loan payment to your earnings. And they cap that amount to a certain level. And so the new proposal or the new income-driven repayment plan that was just announced this week would cap monthly payments to 5% of what's called your discretionary income. Discretionary income is just basically income above the poverty level, plus or minus some other proportion. But that's the idea, is that they're going to cap monthly payments, but also, more generous than other plans, this will forgive certain loans after 10 years of making payments. In some of the other income-driven plans that exist, those forgiveness programs are 20 or 25 years later. So hopefully that helps give an idea of what these are.
Now, we have a lot of student loan debt in the United States. Can you talk about what we know about student loan debt among Wisconsin residents?
We know a few things. For example, there are about 700,000 Wisconsin residents with direct loans, the federal loans that are going to be eligible here for this cancellation. So about 700,000 people, and they carry about $21 billion in student loan debt. That adds up to about a $31,000 on average is what a student debt holder has in the state of Wisconsin.
How did we get here? Big picture, what changed in higher education funding priorities, higher education costs that drove this increase in student loan debt over the last couple few decades?
Yeah, there's a whole mix of things. On one hand, the expenses of college, the tuition and the room and the board, just the expenses of going to college has continued to rise over the past, 20, 30 years. In fact, it's doubled just since the 90s and even higher in some places. So that's a big part of it. Another part of it, though, that makes college more expensive on the first hand. But another part of it is that family incomes haven't really grown as fast. And so individuals can't just pay out of pocket for college, so they have to rely on student loans. Another side to this, though, is that the federal and state financial aid programs that are designed to reduce those price barriers by giving out grants and scholarships, those haven't kept pace either. And so you kind of have this mix of a situation where, more borrowers are relying on loans over time. They're relying on more loans to pay for college. And it doesn't help that the interest rates that are accrued in loan programs have also been rising. So we have a whole kind of slew of issues that have created this ballooning amount of student loan debt now nationally of almost $1.7 trillion.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Vivian is with us in Brown County. Vivian, hi.
Hi. It's been a while, but I was going to bring up the interest rate as well as the fact that some loans aren't wiped out even through bankruptcy. But the interest rates, when my daughter was looking for loans and I was comparing those, I said, that's just silly. They're more than mortgage rates. And why are they like that? And she reminded me she had no collateral, obviously. So I think the structure of the loans, the interest rates, I wonder of that total that you mentioned for total student loan debt, how much of that is interest?
Vivian, thanks for the call. Nick, the structure of these loans, Vivian says, has been a problem.
That's right. To answer that last question with a non-answer, we don't know how much of the outstanding debt is interest versus principal. So that's part of the challenge. Some things that the Biden administration has been working on is to put caps on the amount of interest that can accumulate. So that should at least address part of the problem. But I think a bigger problem, and Vivian mentioned this, saying that this thing about no collateral. Unlike most any other loans that people take out in America, there's collateral. If you take out a car loan, the repossession man will come to your house and take the car away if you don't make your payments. So, there's something to be taken away. But for education, that's not the case. They can't take your education away from you. And so because of that, it's a really unconventional type of way to finance an education. And it's based off of a model that was designed in the 1950s and 60s that may have worked, and maybe we're realizing today that this type of financing system isn't quite aligned with how human nature works.
Thanks for that call, Vivian. Don joins us now in Janesville. Don, hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm kind of getting on board with Vivian. My girlfriend's Pell Grant is about $12,500, from almost 20 years ago. And the interest is about $62,000. So I was just wondering, is this if it goes through and they take, they wash the primary money away, does the interest go away too, or do you know how that's going to work out? How is that going to happen?
Interesting, Don. Thanks for the call, Nick.
That is a great question because there are a lot of unknowns at this point. I assume that it would be the principal and the interest outstanding. I would assume that that is what is going to be covered, but that has not been explicit in the press releases and the announcements that I've been reading. I've been keeping up with this week. So they haven't been really explicit about that difference, I would assume, but gosh, that should be clear.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Nick Hillman, professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison, looking at the announcement earlier this week from President Biden that the administration is canceling from $10,000 to $20,000 of federal student loan debt for borrowers who make under a certain amount of money. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about that move? Too much? Not enough? Does it affect you? Do you have questions? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about President Biden's announcement earlier this week about canceling a substantial portion of student loan debt. Nick Hillman stays with us, professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions to the announcement, your questions about it. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Allison is with us in Stevens Point. Allison, hi.
Hi. I was just wondering, so my understanding, because I have an income-based repayment plan for my student loans, my understanding was that whatever amount of my loan is then forgiven after the 20-year period that they have me set up for will be that year added as income on my taxes. So say I have $20,000 left on my student loan, and that's forgiven, that $20,000 then would be added to my income for that year for tax purposes. So I was wondering, does anyone know if this forgiveness of $10,000 or $20,000 is going to affect people's income taxes for this year?
Allison, thanks for that call. Nick, please correct me if I'm wrong. I believe I saw that the forgiven debt under this policy would not be treated as taxable income. But again, correct me if I'm wrong.
You are correct, Rob. Yes, that's correct. The American Rescue Plan was passed last year, and in it, there's a provision that said that student debts that are going to be canceled until 2025, it expires in 2025, are not going to be counted as income on your taxes.
Thanks for the call, Allison. We'll go now to Greg with us in Sheboygan. Greg, hi.
I have a question, and I have a comment. When I first started in college, right after I got out of high school, I'm 68 years old, I spent $600 a semester, and that was two paychecks because it was 12-something an hour where I worked making level-air truck seats at Bostrom in Milwaukee. But and then it went up to, I think, $900 when I in 89. And now I went back for heating and air conditioning just to check the difference between standard and metric. I mean, heating and air conditioning is standard, basically. And it was $2,400 just for a semester. And I want to know why. The teaching didn't differ. I don't know. What is the cost? Why? How? Now, if you paid the teachers, they'd be all making $1 million. I mean.
Greg, I gotcha. Nick, Greg's experience, not unusual, that increase in costs happening in a lot of places.
Greg, I'm smiling over here because you're tapping on just a big fundamental problem that we're still trying to resolve, and it doesn't seem to be fixed. So we had an era of high wages and low tuition, you mentioned, Greg, and now we have an era of low wages and high tuition. We have just the opposite. And so the tuition continues to rise, especially in the public sector, for a lot of factors, but one large one is state investment in public higher education is either flattened off or not grown very quickly, or in many cases declined. And so the cost gets passed on to the consumer via higher tuition. So that's one part of the puzzle, but that doesn't explain everything. The other part of the puzzle, or one of the other parts, I suppose, is that the whole entire enterprise of higher education, you think of universities and colleges and technical schools, they hire a lot of professional staff members, a lot of professionalized workers, and those salaries have not gone down over time. Those salaries have to be competitive with how salaries are rising in the private sector. And so those are all the conditions that kind of give rise to high tuition.
Greg, thanks a lot for calling in. And I got to say, Greg reminds me, Nick, that I think a lot of the conversation I see about this imagines a college student as somebody who goes to a four-year residential campus with ivy on the brick buildings and so on. Greg is an HVAC student. There are a lot of students out there who might have student loans for a wide variety of reasons.
That is absolutely right. And in fact, one of the things that is surprising to me is that students who have smaller loans, maybe enrolled in just a short period of time, maybe didn't even finish a credential, but now they don't have that to pay off in the labor force. And sometimes those low loan levels are actually the ones that students or borrowers struggle the most with. So they tend to default on their loans. And so the Biden administration is also working on clearing those defaulted loans. 7.5 million borrowers who are in default on relatively small loans are going to have their loans be put into good standing and potentially forgiven too.
Greg, thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Talking to Nick Hillman, professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison, looking at the Biden administration announcement on student loan debt. Back to your calls now. Pat is with us in Three Lakes. Pat, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I've got a question. How much of the student loans, what's the percentage of financed by private lenders versus government? And also, on the $10,000 and the $20,000, what happens to the private lender? Are they just out the $10,000?
Pat, thanks for the call. Nick, so two-parter here, private versus publicly funded or backed loans. Do we know how much is in each category there?
Less than 10% of the dollar volume of that $1.7 trillion I mentioned earlier, $1.6 trillion, about 10% of that is from private student loans. And those are usually lent out by banks or credit unions and so on.
And then Pat's second question, I guess, does this loan forgiveness apply to those loans that someone might have gotten from a bank or credit union?
It does not. So the debt cancellation that the Biden administration announced is for these federal loans.
Pat, thanks for calling in. Good questions at 800-642-1234. Anita joins us now in Lindenhurst. Anita, hello.
Hi, good talk. Now, I don't disapprove of helping out the student debt, but I think that before we went and gave it out to all everybody that has a loan, I think priority should have been given to all of those, the nurses and the doctors and the EMTs and the staff that worked treating COVID patients during the very worst days of COVID. And they didn't get to see their kids, their families, because they couldn't bring COVID home. They couldn't risk it.
Anita, thanks a lot for the call. Nick, I understand there were already, I believe, some forgiveness plans for people who worked in, I think, healthcare, maybe teachers and some other professions. And I think in this new guidance from the Biden administration, they're trying to make it easier for people in those categories to actually get that kind of debt forgiveness.
That's correct. There is a specific program, and listen for this term, Public Service Loan Forgiveness, PSLF. And what that does is if you make payments for 10 years, then you can have whatever's remaining, principal and interest, canceled after that period of time. And the Biden administration has made some changes to the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. It's sort of a temporary fix right now that gives more generous benefits. So it counts more time for borrowers to sort of have their debt forgiven. But they're going to try to make that more permanent. So public service loan forgiveness is one way to do it. I think, though, that the caller, and forgive me, I forgot your name, it taps into this question of who deserves it. I think the politics of all of this are certainly right there in our face.
Thanks for that call, Anita. Sandra joins us now in Mount Pleasant. Sandra, hello.
Hi. Many people think this is something novel and new, but it isn't really. Back in the 60s, the late 60s, I was in a four-year college in an education program, and I received a national defense loan, and albeit much, much smaller than what we're hearing of people owing today. But after I taught X amount of years, I only had to pay back half of the loan.
Interesting, Sandra. So Sandra's saying there's some precedent, Nick, for this kind of thing.
That is absolutely right. And that's something I've been thinking on as well. So is this kind of returning the loan program to its origins? Maybe so. Yes, absolutely. The national defense loans. And then over time, there have been several other service-oriented loans that get forgiven after a period of time. So yes, this is there's definitely precedence.
Thanks for that call, Sandra. Nick, I want to take our last minute or so to talk about, okay, some of this older debt is forgiven, But students are going back, you know, to school in the next few days and racking up new debt. Are there solutions in the works for, you know, not racking up that debt that we'll be talking about in 10 years?
There's not really a long-term solution here. And that's, I think, a big challenge with this. Now, yes, it benefits people immediately who took out loans prior to July 1, 2022. So if your loan was disbursed before that date, then you could be eligible. But after that date, you're not. And so it leaves a lot of big question marks about what's next. What about everybody else? And how are we going to solve these problems so that this doesn't happen again in the future?
That's where we'll leave it. Nick, thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
Nicholas Hillman is a professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison. We talked to him today about this week's announcement that the Biden administration will be canceling between $10,000 and $20,000 of student loan debt for certain borrowers. We want to hear your story about student loan debt, especially if this change affects you or doesn't affect you and you're wondering why. Head over to WPR.org and search for the Wisconsin page, that's W-H-Y-Sconsin, and share your story there.